Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know.
Hello, shoppers. Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show for Saturday. Yeah, we're in December. December 4th, 2010. Here we go. Here we go. It's rock and roll. Past Thanksgiving, now on to the next thing. You know, about every 3 weeks, if we could have a holiday in which eating was sort of the center. I mean, I know like it's not Christmas and Thanksgiving are about more than that, but that's, you know, we do a lot of eating on the side there. Just graze. Every 3 weeks, grazing. I like that. What could you do that's in December and like mid-January? I guess you have the Super Bowl. Sure. All right. There's some grazing in there and all the football games. February, Valentine's Day. Yeah. Okay. You go out and you eat. Okay. I'm liking that. All right. What about March? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we're kind of falling flat there. All right, by that time, we may just be just gorged beyond belief. Reminds you of that cartoon with the great big dog who I was going to go down a road, but there's this great big fat dog on this cartoon. It's on one of my blogs. But anyway, how are you this morning? My name is Johnny. Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in at 8:01. We are back live on the air after I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday last week. And if you're still picking over the pickings, like kind of like buzzards going over a carcass, you know, it may be getting a little on the ripe side. You know, this is a week, over a week now, and you refrigerate it properly. Sure, there's nothing wrong with it. Got all those chemicals in there. Sure, the turkeys are shot up with. Isn't that pleasant? But by now, you may just want to heave the whole mess into the trash because, listen, we're only like 2-3 weeks away from stuffing our face with Christmas ham. Yeah, delish. We have a delicious show on tap for you this morning, which will include but not be limited to Kathy Grannis. She is with the National Retail Federation. She's going to talk about Black Friday numbers, which were up more than was anticipated by whoever does the anticipation and then reports on that anticipation. And then we're going to look at what I think is sort of this confusing things coming in. For example, this week we had economic indicators which looked good. Manufacturing is up. Hiring was up. This was in earlier in the week in the Des Moines Register and all over the newswire. And then we had the nice bump at Black Friday. But then on yesterday, the job report came out and unemployment is up. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. There's something fishy going on. I'm going to get to the bottom of it with you and Kathy Grannis. Also, speaking of scents, which we weren't, but that was the transition I had written here. Speaking of odor, you know, in the workplace, you ever have a coworker, a colleague, or you're buying stuff and you're in front of somebody whose breath is just a little on the pungent side, a little on the stale side, or maybe there's like an odor about them that's a little unpleasant to your olfactory system. Yeah. How do you tell them that? Do you tell them that? Well, it's going to be the focus of a part of the show coming up later this morning. I'm going to talk to two people at two different prospects on this. Viewpoints would be Jeff Delvaux. Dell is the general manager of Des Moines Radio Group, the fine company that owns this here radio station. Good friend of mine, long time. Going to talk about from the sales and retail end, how do you sort of go forward and tell people that? How do you sort of cover your base? And then to cover your bases a little bit better, Dr. Dennis O'Meara of O'Meara Dental is going to talk about how do we know that our breath is stinky other than coming up to a complete stranger and saying, did that smell good? Because you're going to get punched. You're going to get sent into next week. You know, you talk about needing dental work. You want to try to avoid that. So that's coming up on a very touchy subject. In fact, I've written in a couple of reviews, secret shopper reviews, of some people who didn't smell very good, and then I got blasted for it. Sure, it's a very sensitive topic, but boy, you think you're maybe doing somebody a favor, right, by telling them, hey, listen, your breath smells like the south end of a northbound dog, okay? And I just going to tell you that. I'm going to throw it out there. Your weather forecast, minty fresh, very nice. A chance of flurries, freezing drizzle. Now, it says before 9 o'clock. So Mother Nature has about 55 minutes to get this stuff over with so we can move on with our lives. After that, then just cloudy with temperatures falling throughout the day. Winds will be gusty. And you know, that's kind of good because what I like to do when I feel like I have sort of morning breath is just go outside when it's cold and open my mouth and just let the wind blow in there. And I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I feel like after that happens, I have fresher breath. It's just Mother Nature's way of cleansing me. Try it this morning. See how that works for you. Anyway, very gusty day, windy-wise, can clean out a lot of stuff. Up to 29 miles per hour on the wind gust. And then tonight, the low temperature will be pretty much what's going on right now as my head roars. We're at 29. That's about as good as it's going to get. So the temperature is going to be dropping throughout the day, actually. And then we'll drop down tonight down to 5 degrees. Wind chill. Actual air temperature, 14 degrees. So that's sort of, you feel better about that, I know. But yeah, the wind chill is going to be 5. Yeah, winter's here for sure. Sunday, sunny and 24. We do a nice little recovery. And then Monday, back to work, sunny and 22. Right now, 29 degrees. I'm trying to get a sense of what my breath is like right now. And, oh, by the way, if you ever work in a radio station, you never want to get very close to the microphone, particularly if it has one of these sheaths over it that's made of material, because DJs just spend all day popping and talking into it like this, and then it gets stinky. So you typically want to back up from the microphone. So if you hear my voice like over here, it's because whoever was the last person to use the microphone, you know, had an onion and jalapeno sandwich before they came on the air. So anyway, but I think my breath this morning, well, I think it's kind of popcorny, because last night I saw 127 Hours. Yes, the fine Peter Boyle film who directed Slumdog Millionaire and Trainspotting. Just a great movie, true story. James Franco, a tour de force performance, I would say, about a true story about a hiker who falls down a cavern and actually has to cut off his own arm, part of his arm, in order to free himself. Unbelievable. Just a fine film. Go check that out. Talk about not worrying about your breath. Sure, there's a lot of other things to worry about. Well, what is in a name? Of course, we've heard that rhetorical question. What's more important, what's in a business name? More important than that, what is in a business name that uses a name in its name? Well, there's plenty. When we visit places in town for retail that have a person's name in them, for example, Johnny's Italian Steakhouse or Bob Brown Chevrolet or Christopher's Jewelry or Java Joe's or Big Earl's Gold Mine. None of you go there. That's fine. Bob's Country Bunker, Jethro's Barbecue. All these places where we go where they have these names, we have a sense that we may be actually meeting the person whose name is in the title at the restaurant. And you're going to say, Johnny, listen, you used too much toothpaste this morning. You're kind of lightheaded. And I'm saying, no, this is really there. I think there's a subconscious thing going on, particularly when it's locally owned. All right. Now, Suzette's Candies, are we rolling in there thinking we're going to see Suzette behind the counter? Yeah, maybe not. Or Uncle Joe's Crab Shack. I mean, most of us know that that's a franchise and that, you know, that probably Joe's not in there anywhere. It could be. There could be a guy named Joe who's crabby, but probably not going to meet the proprietor, the owner, the guy who started it all. I believe that when we go into Trader Joe's, which is a franchise, I think there's a little sense of hominess about it, that we may get a little better customer service. That's my belief anyway. I could be drinking Drano. I don't know. But that's my sense. And Trader Joe's was the focus of a secret shopper review that I did on Thursday. And every Thursday, every week, I randomly picked a business to secret shop. I go in and I secret shop it. What is secret shopping? I go in under the guise of being a regular shopper, but I'm actually looking for certain things. I'm looking for things like, are employees engaging? Are they smiling? Do they seem happy? Is there a happy vibe going on? Are they thanking customers? Do they thank me? Do they take care of me and other customers? And then I write about that experience in a Thursday blog post, and I've reviewed in Secret Shop just literally dozens of businesses. Well, Trader Joe's, which opened on November 5th, to much fanfare, was the focus of this week's Secret Shopper Review. And a little bit of history about Trader Joe's. This is a grocery store chain, which started out in 1958 as Pronto Market. And, you know, it doesn't quite have the romanticism there, but Joe Colombo, and I don't know if this is how you pronounce Joe's name, but he started, his name is spelled C-O-U-L-O-M-B-E, started this in California, is where this started in late 50s, early 60s. In 67, he switched it to Trader Joe's after his own name, of course. And then they started doing things like adding new products. When you go into Trader Joe's, one of the allures is that most of the stuff you see, you've never seen before as far as the label goes, because it's all Trader Joe's label. And they buy from different providers, and probably some of those providers of food are also provide food for, you know, Sunkist or Slim Jim. I don't know. I mean, it's certainly possible. But part of the allure people go in there is because it's all new. It seems all new to them. Another allure is that these are smaller stores. On average, Trader Joe's are from 8,000 to 12,000 square feet. Well, you think of like a Dolls store as 80,000, Hy-Vee could be 60, 80,000, bigger, larger. You've got the Uber Walmart, which is over 150,000. So yeah, these are much smaller, more intimate. Although if it's busy, you'd say more packed like sardines. It kind of depends on the emotional appeal of small. Well, it's clearly working out for Trader Joe's. They have over 350 locations now scattered over 28 states, although they're owned by Aldi's, and Aldi's is owned by some Germans in Germany. So it's not like they're owned by mom and pop. Joe got out of there. He sold off as a smart guy, but he's still like a CEO of the company, but someone else sort of owns it and runs it. They generate $8 billion in revenue. Wow. That makes Trader Joe's the highest grossing per square foot grocery chain in the U.S. Wow. Yeah. Well, I hope my breath was good. Wow. Yeah, they're generating a lot of serious cash. Well, what about customer service? All right, they're doing well in this food and all this dealio-do. What about that? Well, there too, Trader Joe's is sort of ruling the high seas of customer service. 2010 Zogby MSN Money Customer Service Hall of Fame Survey. Google search this. It's very interesting. It's really the top 10 in customer service of all companies. Amazon ranked number one. You've also got companies like Nordstrom's, Apple, FedEx are in there. Doing Southwest Airlines frequently shows up. But Trader Joe's is number two on that list. And it was number two last year. And so customer service and satisfaction, doing pretty well for them. So they're high profit, doing well in customer service, offer some unique stuff. Good location out there at 6310 Mills Civic Parkway, open November 5th. A lot of pomp and circumstance. So how do they do, and how are they really doing from a customer service standpoint? I visited twice. Once on a Sunday late morning and once on a Tuesday early afternoon. And the Sunday trip was, as you can imagine, it was jammed. Yeah, it was sardine-ish, I would say. And if you don't like crowds, you're not gonna like that. I mean, you're just not going to like Trader Joe's. It's compact, the aisles are tight. They give you these little, fairly small push carts. Like, you know, supermarket carts. Yeah, they could probably make them about half that size. You may want to just go with a around your arm kind of thing, bucket, whatever those are called. The carts that don't have wheels. Yeah, a basket. Thank you so much. There it is. But what I saw, I tell you, the people who did very well, who stood out, were Grace, Georgian, Netta, who was doing sampling in the back, and Vince. Those were all standouts on that trip. Did a very nice job of smiling, engaging, greeting, super good stuff. I would say some things that need worked on. There were a lot of busy employees in the store who were very busy being busy. They're stocking, they're fronting merchandise, they're just doing their thing. They're trying to keep up, right? Now, I counted, I think, 20 staff for a pretty small store. I mean, that's a lot of people running around. I imagine there were probably 30 on duty that day, and I just missed a few. I would say that they're getting so busy that they're missing the chances to engage, to say hi, hello, to be friendly. In fact, what I saw quite a bit of was denying what I call denying our reality. I do this to talk about this in training. And full disclosure, I do customer service training for one of their competitors, Dolls Foods. I do customer service training on a weekly basis for them and Secret Shopping. And so full disclosure there. But I got no axe to grind. Hey, I got no problem with these folks. There's plenty of people out there ready to spend money at places that do a good job of customer service and selling food and so forth. So, but a lot of denying of reality going on in that first trip. In fact, Andy, a girl, A-N-D-I, when I was in the wine section sort of hovering around her, actually reached over top of my cart to put a sign by a display, a price on some wine or something or other, and didn't say excuse me, didn't say anything. Just reached over top, and I'm right by my cart. And, you know, you sure an opportunity there to say, oh, excuse me, or at least, hey, how are you? Excuse me while I, you know, reprice this wine. Oh, by the way, have you noticed this Maître Le Blanc Chateau Vauvauvauvie, 1937? You know, something. Just engage me right there. Sean at the checkout counter was pleasant up and didn't smile, didn't seem terribly happy to be there. Tim, Carrie, Luke, Mara, Chris all made eye contact with me as I walked through the store, but all looked down and away as they passed by. Again, very busy people, understood, but we can't be too busy to where we're ignoring our customers. That becomes a problem. That's an issue. And, of course, that's just a training issue. Trader Joe's does not do customer service training. I was surprised about that. Stores that build themselves based upon a marketing concept, and for Trader Joe's, it is about marketing. It is about being small and friendly and unique. That's the allure. That's what brings us in. But the idea that they don't train on one of the aspects of that customer promise, that promise to their loyal patrons, customer service, is somewhat of a surprise. A few employees told me that what they try to do is just hire happy people. I love that because I tell my own clients it all the time. Hire happy, train skills. It's powerful. It means something. It's much easier to train people who are already sort of in that happy place and to try to train unhappy people to be happy. Good luck with that. Didn't work out very well. So that was a bit of a surprise. Second trip in was a Tuesday, early afternoon. I would say that the cashiers rocked out. You got Katie, Jen, Megan, blonde-haired woman. I'm sorry, did not get her name. Jana doing the sampling. Absolute rock stars. They were up there at the front part of the counter, cashiers, but they were smiling and engaging and just being uber-friendly. Wonderful. Awesome job. More employee acknowledgement of customers was, I think, sort of the thing that was bringing in the rear there a little bit. You got folks like Melody was facing items, walked past me and six other patrons without saying anything to any of us. Kevin made eye contact with me and other customers as we approached. He looked down and away, and he looked straight up back up when the coast was clear, when customers were gone. And I think Kevin is one of the managers of that particular store, or what they call him, captain. He's not the head dude, but he is one of those people in that position. Customer service, again, is a marketing concept until it's actually delivered on. Otherwise, it's just a sentence, and it doesn't mean anything. It's up to the people, the employees, to deliver on that promise, and it is a promise. When a company says we got great customer service in their marketing, that's a promise. When Hy-Vee says we got a helpful smile in every aisle, that's a promise they're making to us that when we go and shop inside their stores, they're going to be happy employees to greet us, right? Well, we know that sometimes that promise is delivered on, and more than sometimes it's not. And one of the elements that sort of was interesting to me is when I called into corporate at Trader Joe's and asked them for an interview, Allison was the person who, Allison, I don't want to try to pronounce her name, M-O-C-H-I-Z-V-K-I, I'll just butcher it, but it was Allison, spokesperson for Trader Joe's. Said that Steve Batchelor, he's the captain of the Trader Joe's on Mill Civic, that he was allowed to do interviews the week of the grand opening and that the TV stations were allowed to come out and Allison was quoted. But after that, they don't do interviews. They don't talk about anything to do with the store after that. In other words, you got that big rush at the front to open the thing up, and then after that, all is quiet. Okay, you know, it doesn't seem very customer service-y to me, but okay, I understand that. While I was talking to Allison on the phone, I was telling her I'd secret shot, but she said, off the record, can you tell me if there were problems? Well, you know, it's sort of like, I'm not going to tell you anything, but you can tell me something, and that'll be okay, right? And so that didn't feel very customer service-y either. And I told her I don't do interviews after grand openings. So that was I don't know. I took my stand. I showed her a thing or two. Anyway, go out and check out Trader Joe's and see what you think of their customer service. You can read the entire review at www.theunsecretshopper.com. My blog post that I post on, and a lot of other interviews and things there. Coming up this morning, what does Black Friday mean? It was good, right? It was above what they expected. Good sales. You're out there shopping, buying a lot of stuff. The apparently the shopping numbers, revenue's good, manufacturing is all up, but then we got unemployment, which is up too. What do all these numbers mean? We'll take a look at that coming up next, including an interview with Kathy Grannis of the National Retail Federation about the Black Friday numbers. All that and much, much more coming up as the Unsecret Shopper radio show rolls on. It is 8:20 at 1350 KRNT. Good morning.
Much is that doggy in the window?
Welcome back to the Unsecret Shopper radio show, 1350 KRNT. It's 8:21 now. We are 29 degrees, temperature dropping throughout the morning and throughout the day as you're out there shopping for doggies or whatever it is you're going to lay down some cash for. My name is Johnny Wright. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I want to give a shout out to Judy, who's listening this morning. Yes, an avid listener to the Unsecret Shopper radio show and maybe doing some secret shopping for me. Thank you so much. If you're interested, by the way, in doing secret shopping for my company, the Biosphere, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E, love to have you on board. Plenty of secret shopping to be done as companies throughout Central Iowa and now in other states. Just hired some clients that are companies in Missouri and New York State and also Minneapolis. So we're very, very excited about that. You can go to www.theunsecretshopper.com for contact information, or you can email me at Johnny, J-O-N-N-I-E, at theunsecretshopper.com. Coming up later on this morning, workplace hygiene. How important is it? Well, of course it's a big deal. That's kind of a straw man. What a crazy question. Sure, but how important is it when you're out there shopping and you run into somebody working in retail who,
somebody smells.
What do you do? Does that affect how much you buy? Yes, of course it does. We'll talk with Jeff Delvaux, GM of Des Moines Radio Group, and Dr. Dennis O'Meara of O'Meara Dental coming up later on to sort of address those particular issues. But some issues in front of us this morning are some conflicting numbers. Des Moines Register this morning has the jobs report. Unemployment. Nation added only a trickle of jobs in November, far fewer than experts had expected. Reminder that the economy is still recovering only fitfully. Unemployment rate nudged closer to double digits, 9.8% after three straight months at 9.6. Employers added only 39,000 jobs for the month. This comes from the Labor Department, said yesterday. They added 172,000 in October. Some private sector stuff in there as well. So you've got that. I mean, I don't know. I'm no genius, but it doesn't sound very good to me. But then you had earlier on Thursday, the front page of the Des Moines Register says, comeback rolls on for U.S. and Iowa. And it says, positive report on employment buoy stocks. Car manufacturing, Ford, General Motors, others reported double-digit sales increases in November. Manufacturing, key index manufacturing activity showed an uptick in November. Restaurants, majority of restaurants reported higher sales for the first time in November. Construction rose, spending on it. Shopping, more than $1 billion was spent online on Cyber Monday, the first time that milestone had been hit. And, of course, starting it all out was Black Friday, and those numbers were up. What sense does all of this stuff make? Well, Kathy Dennis with the National Retail Federation is going to try to make some sense out of it. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Kathy, what is the biggest surprise? We got the Black Friday numbers, the weekend. What, if anything, was the biggest surprise to you in those numbers?
I think the biggest surprise was the fact that people were not only out buying the practical gifts that we've seen in recent years. People were really out to buy fun gift ideas like jewelry, apparel, and even electronics again.
And so that tends to tell us that we're depressed and we want to get out of it by making ourselves happy, or we're happy and we want to celebrate that.
I think it's a little bit of both. There was also a lot of self-gifting, so that's certainly good news as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, people are looking for the discretionary gifts again. So that could mean that, you know, in recent years they've given winter coats and toasters to everyone in their life, and there's just no more of a need for practical gift items anymore. And maybe it is a year to go out and buy that gold necklace again. But, you know, certainly people are still watching their budgets and making sure they stay on track with what they can afford.
Interesting, too, in that just the previous week there was a piece out about surgical shopping, about the idea that us shoppers are going to stores less, and we're spending less time in the stores, and that means, and not just in stores, but also online as well. So there's two things, and so we're trying to figure out what is Black Friday. Looking back over all the Black Fridays, does it typically portend a trend, or is it just a one and done? Or what have you seen over the years?
Black Friday typically has not been the busiest day of the year for consumers, but when the economy turns south, people look for bargains, and there is no better day throughout the year than Black Friday to find the best prices on everything, even if you are buying it for yourself. With that in mind, you know, retailers do know that it's a very small bellwether for what remains to be seen the rest of the holiday season. We had a very strong 2008 Black Friday with droves of people heading to the stores, but holiday sales ended up declining 3.9% that year.
Isn't it amazing? So there's not necessarily always a lot we can tell from Black Friday other than we had a real good one and we should feel good about it, or it wasn't as good as we thought and we should feel terrible.
There's definitely no need to feel terrible. Retailers are well aware that their shoppers are restrained this holiday season, that they, you know, that jobs are still scarce and budgets are still very tight. But, you know, the fact that we are expecting people to spend a little bit more and that we are seeing a shift in what people are buying is a little bit encouraging.
My guest this morning is Kathy Granis. She's a spokesperson for the National Retail Federation on 1350 KRNT. Kathy, did we see anything decline? Did we see any sort of specific kinds of shopping go down?
We did, actually. Believe it or not, we saw a slight decrease in where people plan to shop in terms of the type of store, and that decrease was in discounters. That's another encouraging sign. And again, you know, retailers aren't running out into the streets banging pots and pans in celebration. We still have a long way to go, but that does show us that shoppers were a bit more interested in what department stores and specialty stores and even electronic stores had to offer over the weekend.
How much bounce do we get when we hear, because it's that whole mentality of, oh, it must be good, I can now go out and shop if Black Friday is good, or, oh, Black Friday is down, I must now not shop. There's that amazing emotional impact those numbers have on us. How much bounce do retailers get after Black Friday if it is indeed better than it was the year before?
There is typically a slowdown, and it usually lasts a few weeks before people are ready to get back into stores. We actually find that by mid-December, the average shopper still has about 50% of their shopping left. So certainly, you know, retailers are encouraged by what they've seen over Black Friday, and they'll do all they can to get people into their stores over the next couple weeks, but they know that a large rush also comes in mid-December and late December from those procrastinators.
Sure, yeah, that would be me for sure. Normally the biggest shopping day is what? And it's the straw man. I think I know the answer to this.
Well, if you looked at every other year minus the last few years, it would be the Saturday before Christmas. But the last few years, I think the last five at least, Black Friday has been the busiest day, and a large reason for that is because of the economy and the bargains that consumers were shopping for.
When did the National Retail Federation start crunching the numbers for Black Friday? How long has that tradition been going on?
Actually, only since 2003.
So relatively new. And how long have you been with the NRF, Kathy?
Myself?
Yes.
5 years.
And how did you get? I got to know your backstory. How did you get into it, or what's your backstory?
Well, like every girl, you know, I love shopping, and certainly when you see an advertisement for the National Retail Federation in an area that you actually did go to college for, you jump on it.
Now, where are you from? What college did you go to?
A little tiny, well, it's not too tiny, but a relatively smaller school in Myrtle Beach, Coastal Carolina University.
Oh, very pretty area, mm-hmm. Yes. So anyway, the dumb question, the last question, Kathy, did you get a chance to do any shopping on Black Friday? Did you go out?
Well, we are in the office. My PR staff and I are here in the office for a few hours that day, but I did get to go out after the doorbusters were over, but I still managed to score some great prices on some good stuff that evening.
Nice job for you, Kathy, doing a little power shopping on your Black Friday. Very nice. One other question just occurred. What has been the biggest Black Friday of all in terms of numbers?
Actually, it's this year. We did find that 212 million shoppers hit the stores over the weekend, and 106 million said that they would shop the next day on Monday, Cyber Monday, or I should say the Monday after Thanksgiving. So it's turned out to be a very successful weekend for online and in-store shopping.
Kathy, if we want more numbers and people are curious, they want to read them, where do they go? What's the resource?
www.nrf.com.
Kathy Granis for Shop Until We Drop. Let's hope that continues all the way through the end of the year. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
Kathy Granis, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. It's 831. Now, interesting numbers. The brick-and-mortar shopping up about, what, they said 7%, but online shopping up 18%. Well, I tell trainees all the time, man, we have got to smile and greet them and thank them and be engaging to guarantee the future of brick and mortar, because more and more people, man, are just bypassing all of that stuff. They don't think they're going to get glad-handed. They're just, or actually, I call it glad-handling. I did have a few people say, listen, Johnny, it's not glad-handling, it's glad-handing. Yeah, but I like handle better. It just feels more, you get in there and you touch them and you just get all kinesthetic with them and love on them like that, like they're little puppies. That's the kind of customer service I want. Well, coming up, speaking of dog breath, we're going to talk about the impact of that in retail. Yeah, hygiene, from the way you smell your armpits to your breath to everything. Yeah, it's kind of a touchy, weird subject, but it has an impact on retail. Jeff Delvaux, General Manager of Des Moines Radio Group, is going to join us next. And after that, coming up later on, Dr. Dennis O'Meara, O'Meara Dental, to give us some tips on how do we know if our breath is kind of smelling like rancid cabbage. And what do we do about it? Yeah, you're going to give us some good tips. All that and much more coming up. The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show is back on 1350 KRNT. Thank you for returning with it. It is 8:34. John McLaughlin tells us it's going to be temperatures dropping throughout the day. Maybe a shot. Some freezing rain yet this morning up till about 9 o'clock, but I went outside, dry as mama's meatloaf. It's all good out there, so we'll keep our eye on that. But otherwise, just cloudy today as you're out there looking at signs, retail signs. What are the signs? It's sort of a mixed bag from an emotional standpoint as far as the numbers go. But as far as retail signs, you know what the biggest sign is? You know what the most important sign is? I tell trainees this all the time. It's them. Yeah, they're the sign. They're the billboard. They're the dealio. They're the impact. Because all the stats tell us that people, that as shoppers, we ignore signage. Really, we do. I mean, we look at it, but when you consider you go into any store, no matter what the category, and there are literally thousands of signs, define sign any way you want to, it's the people that make all those signs come to life. Yes, it's them jumping in front of us and talking to us and engaging us and hopefully with, you know, minty fresh breath. Because otherwise, the sign, we're walking out the door looking for another store sign is what we're looking for. And that's a focus this morning. And the effect of that, and how do you tell somebody their breath is not exactly fresh as a morning dew? Well, Jeff Delvaux, who has been in front of a person or two from an interview standpoint, been in the sales business for many, many years, and is the general manager at Des Moines Radio Group, joins us this morning. Good morning, Del.
Good morning, Johnny. How may I help you today?
I like it. There's an open-ended question. That's right. That's what we're always talking about, teaching about in the biosphere. Del, you have forgotten more about sales than I'll ever know in my entire life. And one of the most touchy things to me, anyway, is personal hygiene and appearance. How much of an impact does that have? How much do you stress that with your salespeople?
Well, first of all, why are you asking me? Is there something you're not telling me, Johnny?
No. Oh. You're clean. You're clean marine, as my mother used to say, Dal. No problems there at all.
Okay. It's interesting. It's an interesting subject because it's a difficult subject. We don't stress it as much as we attack it on an individual basis. I would say one of the toughest things, before we get into hygiene, I would talk about dress. Dress has become so difficult in today's business environment. I just read an article, and I thought this was rather odd and maybe even low, but it said only 6% of men wear suits anymore every day to work. Now,
wow.
That number staggered me. But anyway, there's a lot more people wearing polos and whatnot. But where the the difficulty becomes is what is considered professional dress for women, because women's styles are so much more diverse. I mean, you could say shirt and tie for guys, or shirt, tie, and sport coat for men, or sport coat and open shirt, which has become pretty acceptable. But what do you say for women? So
right.
What I have done in the past is I've actually brought some of my salespeople together and asked them what they think is appropriate. And so it's an internal, it's sort of an internal policing, if you will. We don't really have that issue. The only thing we tell people is they can't wear jeans. So when we do a jeans day, it becomes pretty special. But I would say the way we handle it is individually. I will give you a story, because it was in another market, and the guy actually thanked me profusely. He had, and unfortunately he's no longer with us. But anyway, he had a underarm odor issue, and it was pretty pungent. And he was a wonderful man, just a wonderful salesman. Everybody loved the guy, but he not only sweated profusely, but the odor was there. And I finally took it upon myself and said, you know, this is hurting this guy. So I brought him in, and the example I used, I said, hey, I just want you to know that I have a real perspiration problem myself, which I did. And I found that I quit using deodorants because they were making it worse for me. I started using antiperspirants, and I need to tell you that you seem to have a similar problem. And he said, what are you talking about? And then I proceeded to be very honest with him. He went home and talked to his wife, who proceeded to call me and thank me.
Wow.
Because she couldn't even tell him.
Wow.
And if your own wife or spouse can't tell you,
right.
You know, who
right.
can?
Right.
So I don't know that there's that, you know, and I can honestly say I don't know if I had ever done it before. I had a rep one time many, many years ago who had severe halitosis. I mean, to the point it would fill the room. It was so bad. And it turns out he had, you know, and I did deal with it. It turns out he had a stomach issue, but nobody had ever told him either.
Yes.
So, to answer your question, you are doing a disservice. I mean, hey, guess what? When you're a manager, you've signed on for everything.
Right.
Done in the proper environment, done with the proper empathy, and understanding that you're doing that person a favor. And both professionally and privately, you have to step up and do the job. You can't expect other people to do the job. And probably you're probably getting complaints from other people in the building.
Right.
So
right.
We could talk about, you know, harassment, and we could talk about hostile environments. We can talk about, but I think you read in Ann Landers or Dear Abby, I guess it would be these days. Every once in a while, you read about the woman with too much perfume or the heavy doses of perfume, and how do I handle that?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And she always says, "Well, you need to talk to your supervisor, and your supervisor needs to take care of that or needs to address it."
And that's the point about, you know, a lot of people will go around it or triangulate, or they'll say, "Hey, have you smelled so and so's breath?" Instead of going directly to them with love and compassion and doing just what you've talked about doing.
But it isn't easy. I got to tell you. I've been in management a long time, and in both cases, I didn't do it just like on a whim one day. It took me a little, you know, I had to get up the nerve, and you know me, I'm pretty direct about just about everything.
Yes.
But what really put me over the top was if it's just like that piece of spinach between your teeth. I want to know if somebody sees spinach on my teeth, please tell me. If you see that piece of toilet paper is on the bottom of my shoe, don't let me drag it around all day, please.
That's right. When you get home and you look in the mirror at night, you say, "Have I had this piece of banana stuck to my lip since breakfast?" And no one has said anything.
It's very
humbling. Well, you've given us some great tips, and I really think it comes from love. You really have to love and be empathetic toward people to be able to go to approach them on that level, and that definitely describes you to a T, Del. And I appreciate your time this morning. Give us a little courage to man up and woman up and tell those people when they got kind of a stinky breath or bad BO. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Johnny. And you sure there's anything you want to tell me?
No, man. You are. Listen, nobody smells cleaner or fresher than you do.
I'm giving you the window. So, okay. Well, you take care.
Jeff Delvaux, great guy, longtime friend. 843 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. Okay, we got that. Now, how do we know that when our breath smells, and how do we deal with it, and how do we take care of it, and is there a way to tell? Is there a test without somebody having to go up to somebody and say, hey, how did that smell? Dr. Dennis O'Meara joins us this morning to tell us more. He's a dentist here in Windsor Heights. Good morning, Dennis.
I'm very good. Doctor, tell me, what would ever possess someone to go into the business of having to inhale the bad breath of thousands of people every year? Why in the world? How did you get into the dentist industry?
Johnny, I ask myself that a lot also.
Yes.
To be honest with you, my father was a dentist, so that probably influenced me the most. He was a dentist here in Des Moines for 50 years, and both my brother Jim and I became dentists, and I had an uncle that was an orthodontist and a sister that's a hygienist, so
wow.
Dentistry kind of runs in our family.
Interesting, and so what's the allure? Is it the medical helping people part of it? Is it the actual dentistry itself, that there's something allure with teeth, or you tell me?
Well, I would say a little bit of each of those. Definitely the helping people enters into it. It's gratifying to see someone whom you can get out of pain. Also, I would say, the working with your hands, the actually getting in there and doing something and creating something or fixing something enters into it. Just a number of different things.
Well, how long have you been practicing?
Oh, boy. I knew you'd ask me that.
Yes.
I graduated in 1978 from Creighton's Dental School. So I've been practicing for quite a while, 32 years.
Wow, very good. And I'm sure you've seen some crazy things. is there any story that, just anecdotal before we go into the bad breath part of this, is there any sort of story or things you've seen that you didn't believe or crazy thing you can share with us over those 30 years?
You know, nothing that just comes to the top of my head, to be honest with you. But definitely over time, I've seen, a little bit of everything, from extremely broken down mouths to people who take immaculate care of their mouths and, just do a great job. So.
Have you ever had someone who has asked you to pull all of their teeth out?
Oh, of course, yes. And nowadays in dentistry, not only do we not like to do that, but oftentimes we don't have to do that anymore. The science of dentistry has come a long ways. You know, maybe back in the old days, we'd call it, back even before I started practicing, a lot of times that was the treatment of choice, to go in and take somebody's teeth all out and put dentures in. Nowadays, we try as hard as we can to prevent doing that. And to be honest with you, with the advent of implants, where we're able to replace lost teeth, even if we have to take, say, a particular tooth out, or if someone loses a number of teeth, maybe due to an accident or periodontal disease or something, we are oftentimes able to restore those teeth by placing implants.
So what is the number one mistake that people make when it comes to taking care of their teeth, brushing their teeth, and so forth?
I would say to brush them, well, a couple of things. Number one, not to spend enough time thoroughly cleaning your teeth, just to get in there and not do a good job. Number two, we see people maybe on the other side of it who are too aggressive with brushing their teeth, and they want that real clean feeling, and they tend to scrub their teeth. And worst of all, if we have people who are prone to scrub their teeth, if they're using hard bristle toothbrushes, then they can actually damage their teeth over time.
I notice, like, when you talk all day, your breath really doesn't smell too good at the end of the day. And a lot of people in retail, this is a really big problem. Why is that?
You know, I think a lot of that is due to just the drying action of the talking all day. Your mouth dries out, bacteria is able to form more readily. You don't have the buffering effect that saliva tends to provide, just normal conversation or, just normal activities, that
production of saliva definitely reduces the amount of bacteria in our mouth. It buffers any bacteria that may be present there. So people who tend to talk all day long, they do tend to have more of a bad breath problem, again, just due to that drying effect.
How do we determine if my breath smells, how can I determine that, if I can?
You want to know the best way?
Yes.
Ask either, I don't know if you're married or if you ask your children.
Doc, come on. Listen, they're going to run for the hills. Hey, honey, smell my breath, would you? Just come over here and whiff my... Assuming that no one else is around, is there another method?
There's a method. I don't know if it works or not, to be very frank with you. They say if you take and lick your wrist, wait about 5 to 10 seconds, and then smell that portion of the wrist that you licked, you may be able to determine if there's a little bit of a bad breath factor. And I don't know if that's true or not.
And I've heard that if you start at the back of your tongue and try to press your wrist, and I don't know how, you know, I do this while I'm driving, Doc. They talk about texting being dangerous. I mean, this is going to get me killed one of these days. My gosh.
Another thing to do, you know, if you do see your dentist regularly, is ask the dentist or ask the dental hygienist to kind of evaluate your breath. I mean, they're sitting there right over you for usually a half hour, 45 minutes, you know, ask them, you know, do they think that you have a breath problem?
Because you won't normally, so in other words, that's not necessarily something you're going to tell a patient, dude, your breath reeks, I can barely go in there. You're not going to tell them that.
That's pretty true. No, we probably wouldn't. Now, obviously, it's our job if we notice a problem like that, we have to determine kind of what is causing it. You know, sometimes people will be taking medications where we were talking about dry mouth before,
sure,
that may be drying their mouth out, which may be causing a little bit of a bad breath problem. People who smoke obviously have more of a bad breath problem, and they also have more of a tendency to develop periodontal problems. So, you know, we always talk to patients about trying to eliminate smoking. People who chew tobacco, you know, they tend to have they have more saliva production, but they also have those, you know, the tar and what have you that's in the tobacco forms, you know, on the gum tissue and on the teeth, and they're more apt to have a odor problem also. So I would just say this. If you don't want to ask your wife or kids or anything, ask your dentist. You know, ask your dental hygienist. You know, just say that you've had this feeling that you may have a breath problem. You know, what do they think? They should be able to tell you.
Last question.
Sure.
What is the worst breath from a food standpoint? I mean, you've smelled. Oh, yep. My God. I'm starting to get a queasy stomach thinking about this. But what's the worst breath you smell? Is it? Go ahead.
Easy. There's a disease that we call ANUG. It's acute necrotizing ulcerative gingivitis. And what that is, it's this where bacteria totally kind of takes over a mouth. And you have bacteria in the pockets, bacteria on the tongue, bacteria everywhere. And the minute the person opens their mouth, you know it. And to be very honest with you, it's real hard to deal with because it is almost sickening in a way.
Oh, my.
And we have to treat these people with antibiotic coverage. We have to get in there and use an oral rinse for them, and then most of all, we have to change their habits and get them taking care of their teeth and clean everything up. But yeah, that was an easy one to answer from the dental aspect, anyway.
Well, can't you do it remotely, Doc? Can't you stick a camera in there and be like over at home, sitting on the internet or something? Don't they have that availability?
Well, I guess we do have a little bit of that availability, unfortunately.
Tell them to leave their credit card number at the receptionist desk. You're at home, baby. That's where it's safe. Dr. Dennis O'Meara, he is at 1073rd Street, Suite 7 in Windsor Heights. Phone number 243-0591. Doctor, thank you so much for keeping our breath minty fresh all these many, many years.
Enjoy visiting with you, Johnny. Thank you.
8:51 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Now you're going to be conscious, self-conscious about your breath all day. I remember I was 30 years old. I was dating a girl, and I went to kiss her, and she stopped and hesitated. And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Well, your breath isn't very fresh." That's the first time anybody had ever told me that I could ever remember. And I remember the next day I started flossing. Yeah, when I was 30 years old, that little thing, and I don't know if it's any fresher now than it was, but it probably helped my teeth from rotting out a little bit sooner. At 8:52, coming up, I'm going to take one last look at Trader Joe's.
a very nice response from the captain or the store manager at Trader Joe's to a secret shopper email that I sent him under the guise of Karen, who had had a, quote, bad experience at Trader Joe's. Handled it very well. I'm going to read that letter I sent to him and his email response. That's coming up next at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. Yeah. Hope you all being happy today, whether you're shopping or waiting on those that are shopping. Be extra patient either way, because, boy, the crowds are going to be crazy today at stores. No matter in the category, everybody's out. Traffic will be up. And yeah, just be uber nice. Let's put our nice hats on. Let's be very, you know, our parents taught us, listen, when we were 5 years old, be, you know, kind and smile and engage and be nice and polite. Our parents were telling us that at such an early age, and we sometimes lose sight of that when things get a little tight and things get a little tough, and we get a little stressed out, and boy, especially in retail. And I have trainees, employees I talk to all the time and say, you know what? I looked right at this person and smiled at them, and they looked away. They totally looked away, frowning. And I said, well, you know, we have to retrain customers. We're so used to going into stores nowadays and being ignored or being frowned at or being given sort of a short temper or whatever it is. We're used to that. And so as trainees, I tell them, we've got to retrain our customers that it's okay to be happy inside of our stores. One person who was very happy to be happy was Steve Batchelor. He is the store director, the captain at Trader Joe's, the new Trader Joe's at 6310 Mill Civic Parkway. As part of my secret shopping assignment, and I do this with other stores that I do training with, I sent in an email, a complaint email, to see how Stephen would handle it. Now, Steve is not from Iowa. I think he's out of Chicago. And let me read you the letter I wrote. I wrote an email under the guise of Karen Whittam, W-H-I-T-H-A-M. Just one of those silly little Yahoo email things that I have. But I wrote, live about an hour from the new Trader Joe's. I've never been there to one before last Saturday. I stopped in and bought some items, including bread. When I got home, I opened it and noticed some of the slices were hard and had mold on them. I called the store. A woman said to bring them in and get a refund. I couldn't come that Saturday, so came in after church on Sunday. Took the bread up to a cashier, explained the problem. She said she would get someone to help me, but then she got busy and couldn't pull away to help. So I walked up to another woman in an aisle, a younger gal, and started telling her the problem. She acted like I was interrupting what she was doing. She grabbed the loaf and looked at it and said, that bread looks fine. Did you taste it? I couldn't believe she asked me that. She didn't offer to help me or exchange it a refund. She just walked away. I was so upset, I walked out and left. I was looking forward to shopping at your new store, but my experience was terrible and I'm not coming back. This would be a relatively typical issue, freshness of product and an employee not handling that problem. Well, here's what Steve wrote back to Karen. He said, thank you for the feedback on a recent shopping experience. I completely understand your frustrations and feelings about your shopping experience. This is not how we coach our crew members to handle customer concerns or issues. I will address this with the crew to coach and train the team on how we should have handled your return. While I understand your lack of confidence in our store, I owe you an apology and a refund for your bread purchase. Please feel free to contact me if there is anything further I can do to help you in this matter. Thank you for your time. Stephen Batchelor, Captain number 721, and the phone number of the store is at the bottom. You talk about a textbook response to a problem, and we don't always get this. And this is one of the portals that we work on in training, that I'll send this in to my own clients. And I have half a dozen email addresses with different people's names. I want to see how they handle it. It's part of customer service training. What did Stephen do? He thanked me right out of the gate. He said he understood my frustration. He didn't try to excuse it or explain it at all. He said he would address the issue with the staff. And he apologized later on. He said he'd refund the bread and then said to contact. He took ownership of that problem. You could not ask for a better response to a problem than what Stephen Batchelor gave. So they're doing a lot of good things at the new Trader Joe's. I hope you shop there this weekend and hope it is problem-free with a lot of smiles.